Sun's Weekend All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Prince Nesta sitting in for Sun Young in Washington. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. We kickstart off the show with Rwanda Zamavubi Wasps, the lone East African country remaining at the ongoing African Nations Championship, commonly known as CHAN. We'll have to tussle it out with the high-flying Guinea for a spot at this year's tournament. Some analysts say this may turn out to be the most entertaining match when the two teams meet this Sunday at Limbe Stadium. Reporter Mugume Davis Wakirinji has more from Kampala, Uganda.
Rwanda Zamavubi Stars will battle against Guinea, who finished top of Group D in the ongoing Totally African Nations Championship, commonly known as CHAN, to book a place at this year's semi-finals. Guinea drew 2-2 against East African side Tanzania to go on top of Group D on goal difference ahead of Zambia's Chiporoporo. Vincent Mashami, Rwanda Zamavubi coach, believes his side will sail through the semifinals when they take on high-scoring Guinea at the Limbe Omonspor Stadium on Sunday. Speaking in local direct Kinyarwanda, Mashami says he's well aware of the tough game ahead.
When you go beyond stages, it is a knockout. It is not about points anymore. We know that it will be a difficult game, but the best team here qualifies to the next round. We are still in our objective and are prepared to go far in this tournament.
Mashami and his team will be aware of the attacking prowess in the Ghanaian team that include Yakuba Ganyabare, who has already scored 3 goals at the tournament. The 22-year-old Horia FC player will be assisted by Victor Kantabanduno. Kantabanduno, who features for Ashanti Gold Boys, Disigwiri, also has 2 goals to his name at this tournament. Sports analyst Stephen Muneza says Rwanda will ride on the experienced players for victory.
I think Rwanda is going to win their quarterfinal against Guinea, riding on Tuesday's victory, which has given them confidence. Mashami is aware of the challenge at hand and has possibly prepared for victory, which will further enhance his reputation, his CV, as the first Rwandan coach to qualify a national team into the last 8.
Dalene Chayune, a sports analyst, predicts this could probably turn out to be the most entertaining quarterfinal match of the tournament.
I think Rwanda have punched above their weight to make it to the quarterfinals of the CHAN as we speak right now, the same stage where they got when they hosted this event 5 years ago. And facing Guinea, I think it's a tall order for them. But with the quality that they've got in the side, especially players like Anes Soriga, the experience he's got, Jacques Tuyisenge, as well as players like Hakizimana, I think they do stand a chance to push Guinea all the way.
The quarterfinals will start on Saturday with Mali playing Congo in Yaounde, while host Cameroon will play former winners DR Congo in Douala. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. I'm Prince Nessa, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Samson O'Malley joins us now with more on the CHAN 2020 tournament in Cameroon and a bit of other African sports. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings, Prince. It's rest day in Cameroon at the ongoing CAF African Nations Championship, otherwise known as CHAN, following the conclusion of matches in the group phase of the competition on Wednesday. The countries who have booked their spots to play in the last 8 of the competition include Mali, Congo, Guinea, Rwanda, Morocco, Zambia, DR Congo, and Cameroon. The quarterfinals will start on Saturday when Mali play Congo at the Ahmadou Ahidjo Stadium in Yaounde, while DR Congo take on host Cameroon at the Japuma Stadium in Douala. On Sunday, Morocco will take on Zambia in Douala at the Reunification Stadium. Chipolopolo of Zambia's keeper, Adrian Chama, shares his thoughts ahead of Sunday's quarterfinal clash with the defending champions, Morocco.
A bigger challenge, but one which we are ready for. We are coming to this tournament. We had set our targets as a team. Our first target was to go past the group stage.
The second quarterfinal clash on Sunday will see Guinea and Rwanda clash at the Limbe Stadium. Rwanda Amavubi head coach Vincent Mashama says he's already working on the lapses noticed with his size, defense, and midfield positions.
I must say we played against a very good side so far in the competition. And then I hope we will score more goals in the future in the next round. Also, we need to work on each and every aspect of the game defensively. How we play in midfield, how we cross down the opponents, and how we attack as well, as because we need also to score goals. We cannot only defend, we cannot only play clean sheets. So we need to be very careful in the back, but also cause trouble to our opponents.
To further preview the chances of which teams may likely progress from the quarterfinal stage to the semifinals, I spoke with sports journalist Alfred Sariki and Noah Jewel.
With the quarterfinal pairings of the 2020 CHAN taking center stage on Saturday and Sunday, we have some interesting fixtures. All eyes will definitely be on the DR Congo versus Cameroon. Cameroon being the host nation, didn't do themselves favor by coming second in their group stage. Unfortunately for them, Mali topped their group. And now they have to face DR Congo, who, despite 12 players and their coach, Florent Ibenga, testing positive for coronavirus during the group phase, topped Group B, surprisingly. While Congo were runners-up in the group with 5 points. For me, DR Congo are favorites to come out from that match, as their record speaks a lot. So I think they are favorites to come out. For Mali, Congo, Mali did the unthinkable. Topping the same group where you have Cameroon, they topped with 2 wins and a draw. So I will give them the heads up against Congo.
On Sunday, it will be another sweet tie, a watering tie between Morocco up against Zambia. Morocco, the defending champion of the CHAN Championship, hopefully we want to, tell the whole world that look, it wasn't a fluke for them to move, or rather, win the championship in the last edition. So I see Morocco, making it to the next round of the competition. That's Guinea, Rwanda. Nobody believed they would get to the quarterfinal stage. Hopefully, this is where I will not put my money on. That's the encounter between Guinea and Rwanda in the best team qualify for the next round.
Togo may have been knocked out of the competition, but coach Claude Riroy, who provided technical assistance to the CHAN Togo team, has commended CAF and Cameroon for putting up a good show so far.
When you see the quality of the organization of the CHAN, the quality of the training pitch, the stadium, the organization of the volunteers, the police, with everybody, with medical staff everywhere, I can tell you we are dreaming now of the next CAN, because I'm sure it will be the best CAN of ever in the history of African football.
Now let's look at the summary of the statistics from the first round of the group phase of the competition. So far, 24 matches have been played, with 14 of them ending in wins, while 10 were draws. Mali, DR Congo, Morocco, Guinea and Zambia are the teams with the most wins in the group stage, with 2 wins each, while teams with no wins at all are the likes of Zimbabwe, Niger, Libya, Togo and Namibia. The most repeated result is 1-0, and 7 matches had the score line. Interestingly, a total of 46 goals have been scored so far. The most goals scored in a match was 7, and it was in the fixture involving Uganda and Morocco. In the meantime, Yakuba Gyanabari of Guinea is currently the leading goal scorer with 3 goals to his name. Staying with the highlights from the CHAN tournament group stages, 3 women referees, Ethiopian referee Lydia Tafizi and her assistant Malawian Benatida Quimbira and Nigerian Mimsin Ioche, created history at the African Nations Championship when they became the first set of women to officiate a match at a senior CAF male tournament. The breakthrough came 2 years after women referees handled matches at the African Under-23 and Under-17 Cup of Nations tournaments. A famous sports journalist, Ryron Zamora, is confident that given more opportunities, African female referees will perform better than their male counterparts.
I think it's a wonderful advertisement for female referees in the world, not just in Africa. They've competed for top places with male referees, and this is certainly showing that women are coming up to show that what a man can do, a woman can do better. And of course, they are showing that they can compete at top level. Also, look at Stephanie Frappart. Look at the game she officiated. It was the Champions League, the game against Juventus and Dynamo of Kiev. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for female referees to be able to showcase that they can compete with the male at the top level.
Away from the CHAN tournament, FIFA has decided to extend the mandate of the Egyptian Football Association Normalization Committee, which was due to expire on the 31st of January 2021, until the 31st of July 2021. FIFA appointed a new EFA Normalization Committee led by Ahmed Mohamed Mahid Osman back in December 2020. And finally, South African's fast bowler Kagiso Rabada took his 200th test wicket against Pakistan in Karachi on Thursday, saying it was a massive feat to join a club of great players.
It's a massive feat to be included in a list of such names, you know. And when you start playing, you know, you don't wish or you don't ever think that you would, you know, be on such a list and, yeah, have such statistics. And you know, all you want to do is be the best that you can. And so I'm really glad. It is satisfying. It's a great milestone, but the show goes on.
The 25-year-old dismissed Pakistan's Hassan Ali for 21 on the third morning of the first test to reach the milestone in his 44th match. It's back to you, Prince.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. And moving on to more African news, three women referees made history on January 23rd at the African Nations Championship group match in Cameroon between Zambia and Guinea. Ethiopian referee Lydia Tafese and her assistants Malawian Benedetta Quimbira and Nigerian Mimisen Iyohe became the first women to control a match at a senior CAF male tournament. Aisha Falodi is the chairperson of the Nigeria Women Football League, and she spoke to reporter Mike Mbonyi about the significance of the women match officials in Africa, while commending the Confederation of African Football for giving the female officials the chance to officiate at an international level.
My reaction to that is it's a very remarkable thing that CAF is doing. That means we are also now paying into that global vision for all inclusion of women in all areas of participation in the game, be it governance, be it leadership, be it boardroom decisions. Women, a lot more women are being included. And if you now have the women, all women, you know, officiating in an international match, I think it's something to be celebrated and commended. So I celebrate the women who are making the history for the game in Africa. And I also congratulate CAF for giving them that opportunity and seeing the potential that women have to also make their impact in their areas of the work that they do. I mean, for me to be given that kind of responsibility, must mean that you have excelled in the matches that you've been given before, in the assignments that you've handled. It's an encouragement for a lot more women to really put in their best and be showcased also and be celebrated by this kind of role and assignment that these women have been given by CAF.
Do you see the prospect of more female match officials being given this kind of opportunity to handle international football matches in the continent?
I see it. I mean, like I say, this is just the beginning of the process. It means that women have excelled in the field. They have set themselves apart. They have tried, and they were just not handed this role on a platter of gold. They proved their mettle. And there are so many more women where this pioneering women came from. We can look out to see our women engage in the officiating of continental matches, be it for women at the continental level or be it for FIFA at qualifying level. It's just that this just goes to show that they have to do a lot more work, for them to get a lot more, you know, role and responsibility like this. We want to see some of the African women, Nigerian women, also being given that kind of role in the World Cup game, be it under 17, you know, for boys or under 20 or the Olympics team. It just goes to show that they have made their level of competence. And they must keep it up and excel and, you know, build on it for other more women to see them as role models and strive to be what they have proven to be today.
That was Aisha Falodi, chairperson of Nigeria Women Football League, and she spoke with reporter Mike Mbonyi on phone from Lagos, Nigeria.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to Ndumbulu and Makossa to Kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat Music Show. Still on the African Beat, Senegalese speedster Sadio Mane scored and set up two others as Liverpool burst out of its scoreless funk and into the win column with an impressive 3-1 win over Tottenham Hotspur on Thursday. Jürgen Klopp's men took the lead on the stroke of halftime via Robert Firmino tapping after an accurate Sadio Mane cross that wasn't dealt with. Fullback Trent Alexander-Arnold struck the visitors' second on a rebound before Sadio Mane grabbed a third. Spurs, who had a goal ruled out in the opening minutes for offsides, got a goal through Pierre-Emile Hojbjerg. Here's Liverpool's manager Jürgen Klopp's take on the match.
What I saw today was, it's not about shape or form, actually. It's like who we are. So, and that's us. Today's second half especially, that was us. It was a massive fight. And football, obviously, on top of that. I don't know the numbers, but I think that apart from a few minutes in the first half, I don't remember that a lot of the ball, but it was always pretty quick and counter-attacking, and we defended that really well. But it was just a good performance, and I saw a lot of things I wanted to see, yes.
That's Liverpool's manager Jürgen Klopp praising his team's performance after his team's excellent victory against Tottenham. The Reds have now beaten Spurs in the top flight on all 7 days of the week, becoming just the third side to have done so after Everton and West Ham. Jose Mourinho, on the other side, has now lost 6 home league games in charge of Tottenham, more than he has at any of his previous clubs. He is the Portuguese tactician.
Everything went wrong in the first half. We shouldn't go losing at half-time, not at all. I think we were really good and solid and confident in the first half. So to go 1-0 down, not easy. To lose Harry, not easy. To come in the second half, first minute, another defensive mistake, and 2-0. It's very difficult to resist. Even mentally, it's very difficult to resist. But I praise the guys that stayed on the pitch until the end, because until the end they tried.
Spurs are currently 6th on 33 points, 4 points behind Liverpool. The Reds are back in action on Sunday against West Ham, while Tottenham will visit Brighton.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation. Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Tokyo, Japan is currently under state of emergency in an effort to combat a surge of coronavirus infections in the region. However, Tokyo Olympic organizers and athletes remain confident the rescheduled summer games begin in July. My VOA colleague Gwen Oten has more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Prince Nesta. In a recent poll conducted in Japan, around 80% of people surveyed are in favor of postponing or canceling the upcoming Olympic and Paralympic Games. But on Thursday, Olympic Committee representatives said they have received 100% support from all stakeholders for the Games to move forward as planned. During a virtual news conference at IOC headquarters in Switzerland, President Thomas Bach called for patience and said Japanese authorities and the IOC are committed to delivering a safe and successful Olympic Games. Bach admitted the fight against the virus is a tough one that requires the same mental and physical strength as that of an Olympic athlete. But he warned a further delay or cancellation would have a negative effect on the athletes themselves.
There is a speculation about cancellation, about a plan B, about everything. You know, some even make the proposal to postpone the Olympic Games in Tokyo to the year 2032. I want to say good luck if you would have to discuss this with an athlete who is preparing for the Olympic Games 2021. There are some proposals to move it to another city, which everybody who knows about the complexity of Olympic Games is not possible there in such a short period of time. So for all these reasons, we are not speculating of whether the Games are taking place. We are working on how the Games will take place.
In March of last year, many Olympic hopefuls openly criticized the IOC for failing to reschedule the Games, citing health risks and threats to their safety. Those same threats remain the focus leading up to this year's Games. But some Olympians, like American jumper and three-time medalist Will Clay, told Reuters News they believe the sporting world has figured out how to keep athletes safe 1 year later.
You can't push the most prolific sporting event in all of mankind to the side, you know? And so as much as people want to, you know, kind of put us in the shadows, I don't think that can truly happen. And I think that for that reason, the Olympics will happen, you know, because other sports are happening right now. You know, I think it's just all comes down to how you manage it. How do you keep people safe? What are the protocols? And it could be done. We're seeing it being done right now.
Slovenian climber and six times world champion Janjan Gombrich has also booked a trip to Tokyo and believes when she arrives, all necessary precautions will be in place.
There will be not a lot of people in the Olympic Village. And like right after you finish the competitions, you go home. So I think there's nothing to worry about because I know that everything will be planned and it will be safe.
However, other athletes like British champion and fellow climber Shauna Coxie are a bit more hesitant. Coxie says she plans to rely on her intuition as an additional precaution leading up to the Games.
But I guess ultimately I have to trust my own instincts as well. And I won't know how I feel until I'm in that position and know the current state of the world and everything that's going on at that time. So, yeah, I'm hoping that everything will be in place and it'll all be kind of feel safe and be right. But that's something that we've got to be ready for and ready to assess at the time. And that's kind of what everyone's geared up towards.
On Thursday, Tokyo 2020 CEO Toshiro Muto said one preventative measure under consideration is to hold competitions inside empty venues. That's an option Norwegian triathlete Christian Blumenfelt says he fully supports if that would give him the chance to run for gold.
Like we did the ITU World Championship in Hamburg last summer, and that was really well organized. Like even though we love to race in front of spectators, it was like really good closed in. Like it was not possible to get in for anyone. So I think ITU, if they decide to organize something, it will be safe and it will be properly done.
And Will Clay adds, even without fans in the stands, he knows the world will be watching.
It'll bring us together, you know, as a people. worldwide, you know, to just be able to go and see each and every country being represented on such a big platform, you know, and just to see the competition and the pride that that the athletes take in their countries and in their sports and their craft too. So I think it's going to be one of the most special Olympics because of the circumstances.
More than 11,000 Olympians are expected to touch down in Tokyo this summer. The question remains whether or not a vaccine will be a requirement before they arrive in Japan. So far, it is not mandatory for athletes to get vaccinated, but Thomas Bach has issued a plea encouraging them to do so. We are less than 6 months away from the 2020 Olympic Games, scheduled to start on July 23rd in Tokyo, and the Paralympic Games are set to kick off 1 month later on August 24th. And that is all from me for today and for the week. I'll hand it back over to you, Prince Nesta. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Five-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo is reportedly under police investigation in Italy for allegedly violating the country's strict COVID rules to take his girlfriend on a fancy ski trip. Multiple news outlets in Italy say Ronaldo and Georgina Rodriguez traveled from Turin to Cumayo earlier this week, which is not allowed at the moment. The now-deleted footage posted on social media showed the couple on a snowmobile in a mountain resort the same day Georgina Rodriguez turned 27. Rodriguez, who's also a model, later shared an image with her 23 million followers of the couple celebrating back at home with their family. If found in breach of the rules, they could each face a fine. Italy is seeing hundreds of deaths and thousands of infections daily. The country was hit badly in the early stages of the pandemic last year and is now in a political crisis after struggling to bring down cases in a second wave. The controversy comes months after Ronaldo himself got COVID-19. At the time, he was criticized by Italy's Minister for Sport for traveling to Portugal for international duty shortly before he tested positive. Vincenzo Spadafora labeled Ronaldo quote-unquote arrogant and disrespectful and accused him of violating COVID-19 protocol by leaving his team's bubble to travel after they reported infections.
In the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Three-time Grand Slam winner Naomi Osaka has invested in professional women's football team North Carolina Courage. Formed 4 years ago, the club competes at the highest level in the U.S. National Women's Soccer League. The 23-year-old, who has never revealed how much of the club she owns, said, and I quote, "The women who have invested in me growing up made me who I am today. I don't know where I would be without them." End of quote. The North Carolina Courage have enjoyed consistent success since forming in 2017. The team won the National Women's Soccer League Championship in 2018 and 2019, topping the table and winning the playoffs in both campaigns. Osaka is currently preparing to play in the Australian Open. The world number 3 won the event in 2019 and won the U.S. Open in 2018 and 2020. And that wraps up the January 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Mukbilia Barrow, and thank you for tuning in for the past few days that I've been hosting the show. Sunny will be sailing the ship with you again on Monday, but in the meantime, have yourselves a nice weekend. I'm Prince Nesta, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hi,
get it.